I don't know how many times I've told my sweet bride that there's no place like home. But not only in the home that we live in, but there ain't no place like a church home either. What a blessing. In the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he reminds believers of this. We know if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Can I tell you something this morning? Every believer ought to have three homes. Every one of us ought to have a heavenly home, a Christian home, and a church home. Now, a heavenly home is where believers would want to spend the rest of eternity with their Creator God. A Christian home is where we get the privilege of spending precious time with a loving family. But a church home is where every Christian should become part. Every Christian should become part of what God is doing in the local body of Christ. And here's what's interesting. When you are assured of your heavenly home, then it seems almost automatic that you desire a Christian home. It seems automatic that you desire to be a part of a church home. Knowing that our eternity is secure with God should affect not only how we live now, today, but how we live the rest of our lives. To achieve this, when you boil it all down, there are three things that we should strive for in order to receive what God has in store for us in these homes. The first is this. We should strive for a happy heart. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but the psalmist wrote in Psalm 144, 15, he said, "Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." Of course, we know that happiness depends on what happens. Therefore, happiness always seems to be conditional. It's conditional upon how things happen. So what then are the conditions for a happy heart as the psalmist wrote it? Well, the first condition for a happy heart is that salvation, you being saved, is imperative. It's imperative. How many of you know that at any moment, you or I could be facing our last moment on earth? At any given second, this could be our last moment on earth. Your time on earth may end, and we don't know when. Friend, if you are uncertain about your eternity, you should feel very, very uneasy right now. If you are unsure about where you're going to spend eternity, you ought to have a real difficult time relaxing right now. Because to truly have a happy heart, one must fully believe, one must fully trust that as promised, Jesus Christ died as payment for my sins and yours, that he buried those sins in a borrowed grave, and that he defeated death and sin, being gloriously resurrected from the grave back to life 3 days later. Friend, being saved from the penalty of sin is an imperative condition to the happy heart. But there's a second condition. To have a happy heart, sacrifice is also inescapable. It's strange to me that words like sacrifice, cost, price, demand, giving, going, that those words could lead to happiness. But Jesus said that the way to live is to die. And the way to have is to give. He went on to say that whoever desires to save his life shall lose it. And that whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. To truly have a happy heart, not only is salvation, you being saved, imperative, but sacrifice for the rest of your days is inescapable. But there's a third condition for a happy heart, and that is that separation should be included. Separation should be included. How many of you know that happiness depends a whole lot upon who you run with? Happiness depends a whole lot upon who you run with. Those who hang around worldly influences will undoubtedly become worldly. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. If you want the happiness that comes along with being godly, then you need to start walking with God. Amen? If you desire the happiness that comes from being spiritual, then you got to start walking in the Spirit so that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This idea of separation includes biblical catchphrases like these. Come out from among them. Do not be conformed to this world. Love not the world. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. See, all those words are words that the Bible uses to show how serious God is about us separating ourselves from sinful people, sinful pursuits, and sinful behavior. It's a pretty big deal to God. And so we ought to not let those things rob us of a happy heart. You want to have a happy heart? First, you just make sure that Jesus lives there. Amen? When He lives in your heart, friend, then you can become a surrendered, living sacrifice separated from the world while striving to live for His glory. Friend, while striving to have a happy heart is important, we also should strive for a harmonious home. Your home life is pretty important to God. Peace, love, harmony at home are worth more than gold. I don't know how many times Jen and I have talked about this, about our home being a sanctuary. See, we try not to allow any outside junk coming into our sanctuary, right? We're striving for a harmonious home that's untainted by the world. We don't always make it, but we strive for that. See, especially when you get tired, at the end of a long day, when you're sick, when you feel bad, when you're weary, when you're discouraged, friend, there ain't no place like home. Somebody say amen. No place like home. And it's not the carpet. It's not the furniture. It ain't the fancy brick. No, it's just the love and the peace that we ought to find at home. I mean, after all, what is it that makes a soldier serving overseas truly hunger to come home? I think that you could be challenged to think it's anything other than the peace and harmony that they might find at home. And this harmony that I'm speaking about, it's found in time spent with family. Think about this. Home is where the family is. Home is where our closest relationships are. Home is where the heart is. Home is where love is shared. Home is where I can let down my guard and relax. Home is where I can laugh with my bride and where I can learn together with her. Home is where I can draw strength being in my harmonious home. But harmony is also found, listen to this, guys, if you're a man, raise your hand. Harmony is also found when fathers take on their role. When fathers take on, you see, God appointed fathers to set the spiritual example in their families. And when fathers neglect their role, when fathers set a bad example, then here's what they're doing. They're setting their families up for failure. And you ask any father, he'll say, no, I don't want that for my family. But then you just look. Are they neglecting their family? Are they setting a bad example? Conversely, we have a father who boldly stands for godly principles. When we have a father who boldly stands for Christ-like values, then here's what you can expect. You can expect the family to follow in those values. When the father takes the role seriously, then you can know for sure that that family will flourish. You can take it for granted that they can begin to enjoy the happiness that God intends for that home. And it's because the fathers take on their role as fathers. But harmony, while so important, it's not just up to daddy. It's not just up to the fathers. It's clear that the Lord ultimately holds fathers responsible for the harmonious home. I mean, think about this. There's no doubt in the scriptures that Eve was the first to sin, but God came looking for Adam. Fathers, we've got to take our role seriously. But harmony is also found when homes are faithful. See, it's not just the dads, it's families can expect happiness when parents, both parents, lead the way in church attendance. I know that sounds overly simplified, but you bring them here for one purpose, and that is so they can grow spiritually. So that's important. Parents ought to do that. When parents have family worship together, that's important. When parents live consistently according to the Word of God, that's so important and brings harmony. And when each part of the family is doing his or her part to serve the Lord and cooperate together, can I tell you that harmony is the result? But the first second that one part of the family begins to turn self-centered, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, when that part turns self-centered, then the whole family is adversely affected. Homes are where families work as a team, working together to help one another, and they're the ones that tend to be the happiest. Life in our heavenly home comes from a heart that belongs to Jesus. Amen? But our Christian home comes from families who truly love one another, whose fathers have accepted their role, and also as the members have come together to faithfully be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord their God. I think we should strive for a happy heart. I feel like we should strive for a harmonious home. But do you know that we should also strive for a healthy church? A healthy church. See, strength in the local church, y'all listen, it don't come by accident. It requires effort. It can be hard work staying healthy as a church. If a church is going to be healthy, you'll find that members will follow certain steps. For example, they will demand plain preaching. They will demand plain preaching. Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. Preach the word. What is Paul saying? Do you know what that means? That means preach when people like it, and even when they don't, as long as it's the Word of God. See, way back when, castor oil used to be used to treat just about every ailment on the planet. And kids hated it. But you want to know something? For a large portion of the ailments, that jump worked. I couldn't believe it. Well, since then, they have made medicine more tasty. But can I tell you that medicine's not the only thing that's been sugar-coated these days? Preaching. Preaching in our day has become pretty tolerable. Preaching in our day has become seemingly without objection. And I believe that preachers ought to get fighting mad. When somebody leaves the church and they shake your hand, they say, "Pastor, that was such a nice message." No! No, it should not have been a nice message. No! If it was a nice message, I failed. Why? Because that message should have stepped on your toes. That message should have convicted your heart. That message should have changed your life. And if it was nice, I failed. And if I failed, that means that the message was probably pretty tolerable and it probably won't have any lasting impact on your life. I pray that you are looking for a church that's healthy, a church to be built on the Word of God. And around here, friend, we may not be politically correct, but I want to assure you, we strive to be biblically correct. Amen. That's going to involve plain preaching. But there also must be not only plain preaching, there must also be people praying. That's why I said our prayer list is so incredibly important. It's important that this church be filled with people that are praying. Have you heard this quote before? No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Amen. Everything we do begins with prayer. Everything. Jesus rose up a great while before daybreak and he went out to pray alone. How much do you converse with God? How long do you pray? How often do you pray? Don't answer those questions. Because a healthy church depends on praying people. But a healthy church will also have personal participation. Personal participation. So let me ask you this question. Are you an instrumental part of a local body of Christ somewhere? Are you absolutely indispensable in the church that you belong to? Some have a heavenly home. They're heaven bound. Some live in a Christian home. They've moved it into the inner workings of their family. So why not make this your church home? Brother Bill, why should I become a member? I mean, is it wrong just to attend regularly? And to that I would say, well, think of this. Think of a couple in love. Oh, you look at them and they say, uh-oh, they're getting pretty serious. Yeah, they're getting pretty serious. They've moved in together. They're getting serious. But how many of you know that God requires a more solid commitment? See, God requires what? Marriage. That's right. Membership to a church is commitment. Commitment. It's commitment, friend. And each one of us ought to be committed to a local body of Christ. It's like marrying your best girl instead of just living with her. I've heard someone say, well, Bill, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And I know what they mean. They're talking about the body of believers as a whole, the universal church, if you will. That church is far larger than anything this church could ever hold. But the Bible's clear in its command that we need to join ourselves to a local assembly of believers. You need that. God wants that for you. Okay? But sadly, some who focus on what is often called the invisible church, they often have invisible attendance records. Sometimes they have invisible offerings. Amen? Sometimes they have invisible nursing home visits. Right? They don't accomplish much that's very visible. They don't belong. They're not committed to one. But honestly, I think that we should respect somebody that's in that place. I mean, maybe they're not ready for that kind of commitment just yet. Maybe in that light, it's okay just to attend for now until they know exactly what God wants for them. But friend, listen. If God has made it clear to you that this is where He wants you, you need to make that kind of commitment. I can't think of a better time to do it than when we're celebrating 116 years of people who have been committed to God's work here at Bethel Baptist Church. And the great news is this. Listen carefully. The commitment that I'm talking about from you is a two-way street. As committed as you are to us, we're going to be doubly committed to you. Thick and thin, we're going to be committed to you. Our commitment stands in return to yours. And so I want to encourage you, friend. Understand that this church is much more than just some organization of believers. It's much more than that. It is a living, breathing organism that is working together as one under the head of Christ. It relies completely upon our head, Jesus. But it also relies on each and every individual part of the body. So if you're ready, today's a day that you can get on board. Amen. Get on board with what God is doing right here through this family that you're worshiping with today. But you need to know this. There are two main philosophies about what to look for in a church. The first is this: a consumer mentality. See, some people come and they look for a church that has a lot to offer them. Their main question is, what can you do for me? And I think we should be certain that when you come to be a part of a church, that that's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to flourish as a Christian. But there's an alternative to a consumer mentality, and that is a contributor mentality. This person says, Bill, I just want to make a difference. I want to make a difference for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of heaven. I just want to make a difference. The main question I have for you is, what can I do for the glory of God here? That's their main question. See, they know God's will includes more than just what's in it for me. Matter of fact, they know that they receive the most when they're giving their time, when they're giving their effort, their talents, when they're giving their treasures, believing that God will use them in a supernatural way. I believe that God agrees with philosophy number two. A body of Christ filled with people that have a contributor mentality. At Bethel, you can be blessed by joining a family where Christians have sacrificed and been used by God to build the kingdom of heaven for 116 years. That's quite a legacy. That's quite a legacy. But you can be doubly blessed by coming to a body of Christ, listen to this, who wants to partner with you, who wants to partner with you in becoming part of the solution to man's biggest problem. And man's biggest problem is an eternity without God. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a heavenly home? That is the most important question I'm asking you today. Do you know that when your days on earth are through, that you have a heavenly home? If not, you don't have to leave here in the same condition that you came here. You can leave here knowing that you have a heavenly home. But do you have a Christian home? Maybe the word of God is falling on your heart and you realize, hey, something needs to be changing at home. Therefore, I am going to be the founder and CEO of my Christian home. But today I ask you, do you have a church home? Do you have a church home? And if God were leading you here today, my question is to you, would you follow? Would you follow his lead? Can I pray for you? Father God, thank you for home. There ain't no place like home. And Lord, we're so grateful that we can enjoy the assurance of an eternal home with you because of the grace you have applied to us through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so grateful for our heavenly home. But Lord, we want to make sure that that assurance goes further than just ourselves. We want it to go to our spouses, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our teammates. Lord, we want to have Christian homes. But Father, I just want to speak personally as pastor of this church for nearly two decades. I thank you for this church home. Lord, I thank you for the family of God that is represented here. And Father, we just think that it's special to be able to offer on a celebration of 116 years just an opportunity for someone to join us in the incredible mission of sharing the gospel good news that Jesus Christ saves and that we can be part of that team. God, I ask you in Jesus' name to speak to every heart. And Father, if there's any decision that needs to be made here, if there's any prayer that needs to be lifted today, Lord, this altar is wide open today. If there is someone who has said, I don't have a heavenly home, boy, what a horrible place that would be. I would fidget in my chair until I couldn't fidget no more. And Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to speak to each and every one, no matter where we are in our relationship with you. That Father, whatever the need is today, Father, that they would bring it to you. What a privilege it is to pray with brothers and sisters who care for one another. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus today, as we prepare for discipleship opportunities to come this Wednesday and in camp and in Vacation Bible School and all the opportunities that you've afforded us. Oh God, it needs to be bathed in prayer. We need to be people praying. And so Father, I pray that whatever burdens our heart, Lord, we bring it to you in prayer today. All in the high and holy name of our Savior Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. And all God's people say, amen.